Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
In Los Angeles, fire crews continue to battle wildfires as the city braces for dangerously high winds that could cause further destruction. The LA mayor says winds are predicted to be close to hurricane force level and urgent preparations are being made. Marion McKeown is US correspondent with the Business Post and joins me on the line now with the very latest. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning to you, Claire.
So take us through what's been happening. We know the fire crews are still in the area. There's two large blazes, as I understand it, and two smaller ones. And still everyone is bracing for these higher winds. Is that what's happening?
Exactly. And I have to tell you, the trepidation at the moment, we've just entered into what we've been told will be the most critical 12 hours here in Los Angeles, which will run until midday Tuesday LA time. And this is when the winds could surge back up to 70 miles an hour. And people, I just came back from another fire just started in the Santa Clara Riverbed between Tarzana and Ventura. They're hoping it'll go out, it'll be blown out west into the sea. Luckily, there's a golf course on either side, they're damp. So, you know, and there's a lot of sort of agricultural areas around there, which means moist, you know, mushrooms, strawberries, that kind of thing. The ground is damp. They're hoping that will be contained at the 85 acres it's at currently. But I stood there and I watched it move. It, with no winds, it was moving at 100 feet a minute. This huge area is right through a riverbed. And I just got an update now from the Eaton Fire. They have currently got 3,235 assigned firefighters in place right now, 316 fire trucks, 16 helicopters and 88 water tenders. What they're hoping to do this time, Claire, and you know, Pacific Palisades has about twice that amount. They want to be preemptive this time, and they're redousing the burnt out houses with water again, because the reason for that, one of the firefighters told me, is that if the winds pick up again, even a spark from a house that's been burnt out could start a whole other round of chaos. But what they're doing now, which is important, is they're preemptive. They're already on the blocks. They've mapped out now where they think there are the most risky areas, and they've already dispatched firemen and fire trucks and water tenders to those particular areas, and they're hoping that will help contain it. You know, when we spoke last week, Claire, we said that the area was about 10 times the size of the Phoenix Park, the burn area. It's now three times the size of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So that will give you an idea of just the scale of the devastation and the fatigue on these firefighters' faces. It's just etched into them. Some of them are on 48-hour shifts. I assume they're taking naps here and there, but it's just, you know, they are exhausted. And I think it's been 7 days straight. And as I say, we're now, fingers crossed, it will not be as catastrophic as it was last week. After a couple of days at the weekend, they managed to eke out a lot of fire containment, like dig ridges into the mountains and the areas, that kind of thing, hopefully to try and block the fires and slow them down. But nobody really knows what's going to be ahead in the next 12 to 24 hours.
So as you say, this is the critical period when these very high winds are expected. So what is the forecast? How strong are they expected to be?
Up to 70 miles an hour gusts. And, you know, if last week it was up to 100 miles an hour, last week it was basically a Category 5 hurricane with flames. This week it looks like it could be, you know, they're hoping that it won't reach a Cat 3-4 equivalent, but they say that they are getting ready for that if it is. There are about 9,000, 10,000 firefighters in situ at the moment. But, you know, just as I said, the sense of trepidation is really palpable. Everywhere you go, there are real concerns for this time, because the Palisades, there's nothing left to burn, essentially, right down to the ocean. That means the fire may head north towards Encino and west into Brentwood, where there are a lot of homes as well, and, you know, a lot of potential damage that could happen. So it's, you know, everywhere in LA at the moment, we have people, you know, sleeping on floors in people's houses. We're all hosting people. And I think FD is just exhausted. But there is a terrific community sense here. And But it is heartbreaking. I mean, I drove again today over near Palisades, and the extent of the devastation, it's really impossible to describe. And that we also have a lot of disinformation that's coming out, and a lot of just stuff that the fire chiefs are having to take their time away. And you can sense their frustration from the really important business of informing people and telling people what to do, where to go, just to deal with disinformation that is really frightening a lot of people. And then there's another complication, which we didn't have last time we spoke. The air quality is understandably and not unexpectedly at all likely to get very, very poor. They believe that there's asbestos in the air, that there's arsenic in the air, and that there's lead in the air. And they're concerned about, I think it's called P2 particles, which are apparently 70 times smaller than the diameter of a strand of hair, a single strand of hair. And once they get embedded into people's lungs, it's very, very hard to get them out, and they can cause a lot of damage. So we're all wearing I-95 masks again, or N-95 masks, I should say. And there are a lot of National Guardsmen on street corners and on, you know, guarding whole blocks from looters. It really feels like scenes from, a Cormac McCarthy novel. Like, very, very bleak, very, very dark here at the moment.
And when you say misinformation causing frustration amongst the fire chiefs, what sort of things do you mean?
I mean, there's misinformation claiming things as basic as that areas are on fire that are not on fire, that areas are under evacuation that are not. Now, at the moment, there are red flag warnings for 13 million people. It's almost the whole of, Southern California. But it's really specific to the Los Angeles area and now Orange County as well. So, claims about looters, claims about insurance, claims about all kinds of things, even claims, inflating the wind gusts as if people need to be more alarmed and more nervous than they already are. So it's I think it's been very, and as I say, we're being kept abreast with very, very good briefings and very detailed briefings. But as I say, you can really sense the frustration of having to take time out from the critical life-saving business of providing timely information to dealing with nonsense, largely stuff that's being spewed on X and various other sites. It's a bad time for the tech oligarchs to decide that you can throw up anything without any fact-checking. It really is.
Well, listen, I want to move to Donald Trump now. It is all connected. We had this report released in the last number of hours by Special Counsel Jack Smith, and this is the report that says that Donald Trump would have been convicted of illegally trying to overturn the result of the 2020 presidential election, which he lost, of course. Now, he has been re-elected, which is why he is going to escape any potential charges. It's quite extraordinary, though, to have this report released now by the former special counsel who was tasked to investigate it.
Absolutely. And it was only released after a pretty serious legal tussle, because, of course, Aileen Callan, the judge who's overseeing the classified documents case, this is a volume which comes in two parts. One deals with the classified documents case when Donald Trump, when he was leaving the White House in 2021, January 2022, took vast quantities of top secret classified documents. And we saw the pictures of them being scattered around in bathrooms and on stages in Mar-a-Lago. Now, Aileen Callan was in charge of that case. That was a federal case. And she basically let's just say that the 11th Court of Appeals, the most conservative court in America, basically rebuked her three times for, we'll just say, eccentric judgments in this case. But she tried to block the publication of the whole report. And the Department of Justice said, OK, you know what, we will abide by your order on the classified documents, but we're free to release the rest. That is the bit that deals with January 6th and the lead up to it. And yeah, Jack Smith, and again, you can sense his frustration in the comments. He said that his view is that Donald Trump would have been, now everybody is innocent until proven guilty, but he does say that, but for Mr. Trump's election and imminent return to the presidency, the special counsel's office assessed that the admissible evidence was sufficient to obtain and sustain a conviction at trial. And he says that the view is categorical, and the fact that they had, there is a Department of Justice policy that you cannot prosecute a sitting president. And he says that the decision, he wants to point out, it wasn't made because of the crimes weren't serious, or that the government's case wasn't strong enough, or the merits of the prosecution. And, you know, it's you can understand why he wants to make that clear, that the only reason he believes that Donald Trump isn't being prosecuted, and indeed that he wouldn't have secured a conviction, is because he won the election again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this report, I mean, it may be a footnote in history, but it's essentially meaningless. And the Department of Justice has lost this battle. And, you know, the report will be put on a shelf somewhere, I dare say. And as I say, maybe a footnote in history.
Yes. And I mean, all of the legal issues that he faced, pretty much they've evaporated now since his re-election, right?
Yeah, I mean, the case in Georgia is interesting because that is a state case. We had Judge Juan Marshall in New York saying, you know, he basically told him in advance, which no other defendant ever gets, he told him that he wasn't going to be getting a punitive sentence, that basically it would be an unconditional, you know, yes, you are guilty. And so we had that happen last week. The case in Georgia is in complete limbo. That is a state prosecution, but it certainly won't go ahead against Donald Trump. There are a bunch of other defendants as well. But it looks like that will be just stymied, that they will kick that can down the road too. So I think Donald Trump's strategy to delay, and then go ahead and try and win the election, that would ensure that all of these cases disappear, has really worked out pretty well for him.
Marion, we'll leave it there, and we wish you well and everybody there in LA over the coming 12 hours with those high winds expected. Thank you very much.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.